AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention that everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome back to Solar Spotlight. I'm your host, Ryan McDougall. Today's guest, Jesse Watson, back for his second appearance. The first time he was here in episode 37, he was in the middle of a city council campaign. We're now welcoming him back to follow up after the campaign has ended and what happened during the campaign. This episode isn't just about politics. It's about accountability, trust, and what's it feel like to put your name in to run for city council and the hit that comes with it. We break down the campaign, the backlash, and how now he's rebuilding his brand and focusing his direction on new things after arguably one of the toughest years he's faced. If you live in Edmonton or you ever thought about stepping into the public life or even politics, this is one you'll want to hear. Please be sure to hit like, subscribe, and let us know what you think about Jesse's story in the comments. This is Solo Spotlight, episode 69, Jesse Watts.
Welcome to Spare Bedroom Studios, where big sounds are born in small rooms.
A lot. Welcome, everybody. Solo Spotlight, episode 69. I'm welcoming back Jesse Watson. If you've been following, you can remember Jesse from June 9th, episode 37.
Wow.
It's been a while. Yeah. Thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for
having a lot has transpired. Kind of excited to talk to you about, I think this is a good episode to bring people back down to earth about the whole reality of everything. Like when we look at elections and running and like the stakes of all of it, it's a good kind of break check to say, like, even though you do everything right, it doesn't always equal the conclusion that you want. And we'll get into it. But I want to thank you for coming on and speaking candidly with me, because I'm sure something like this, given the year or so, even probably longer, of, you know, time investment, financial investment, putting your face out there and just being available to people, like that's a lot of weight that I think people don't understand. And then to come out and like just not hitting it by, like, just a little, like, and the margins were, like, fairly
10%.
Like, yeah. Like, the margins were very, very close. Like, when you look at some of the wards, it was, like, blowout. But to kind of start us off, when we last talked, you were kind of, I would say, like, in the middle of your campaign.
Yeah, I was kind of June. I was a baby influencer back then.
Right.
Like, 4,000 followers or something. And I had started early, right? Like almost to the point where no one knew there's an election coming, right?
100%.
And, but I knew there was an incumbent. I knew I had to get out there. I had to get my name known and build up a base, whatever that meant for me at the time. But yeah, a lot transpired over the following 5 months. I basically birthed out a campaign, nine months, which was great. It just wasn't, you know, I wanted the girl, but I got the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was a lot. It was interesting, but I don't regret anything. Mm-hmm. I think it was great. You meet some good people, some crazy people,
mm-hmm.
But mostly people who have intentions to make Edmonton better, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and throughout, like, from the 5 months since we interviewed, like, I had my opportunity to sit down with some people. Some people I interviewed, I kind of said to myself, like, yeah, they're missing this, they're missing that. Like, it's going to be a hard fight if they don't learn, like, this, like, skill, or they don't figure this out, right? And also just learning about politics, I think getting into it and learning how much, like, civil politics, especially, like, municipal, actually affects, like, people's day-to-day.
Yeah.
Because I went around to work and said, like, if you want change from any government, this will be the election to vote in.
Yeah.
Like, if you think that, like, everybody watch CTV federal elections, it's like, this is the election you should be watching, especially if you're voting, and you should be voting. So I echoed that forever. But talk to me about how that back end of the campaign kind of played out. Without getting into, like, the week of elections, which we're going to touch on next, but talk to me about, like, how that looked. What were some memorable moments for you?
Yeah, like, I started with, you know, kind of saying that I was centrist, okay? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people in the campaign were, because I had to learn how to work the doors and get, you know, votes. And there's a lot you learn in a campaign about tracking. A lot of people had campaign managers. I was basically flying solo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of money. I did pretty good in my raising. I'm no debt, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know what people's values are. You just don't know what they're doing.
So
right?
You try to say, for just the audience, centrist, that's like you're not left, you're not right, you're just somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, because okay. I kind of maybe naively thought that the city is nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it's extremely partisan. Everything, every decision has an ideology behind it, which I learned pretty quick. So when I was here in June, I was just a guy going around to the doors. You know, people cared about taxes. They cared about, you know, being heard, but then you soon realize that a lot of things that were going on were based on a group's thoughts of what's best for Edmontonians.
Right.
But when you think about voting, you're like, hey, 30% of 30% is actually not representation.
No.
So it caught me up in a lot of cases because everyone asks me, what's your ideology? Are you PC? Are you NDP? And it became actually the most trending question I had.
That's so crazy.
So I had to learn quickly. I had to learn that, you know, I'm probably the most liberal PC you can be. I mean,
right.
I have a coffee shop. I'm a planner, but I care about money. And so that lost me a lot of votes. And over the election, I noticed that those forces of kind of the PC narrative were really starting to push hard against kind of what I represented, which is fine. People believe in something, but there was a lot of misconceptions about what it meant. But the good thing is, you know, you get to know who your friends are quick. Trust is hard to find sometimes, but you get to, you know, great volunteers who really believe in you. And even people at the doors, you know, they're volunteering, they're willing to step up despite the low turnout, but they care about change. And I think that's the most important thing you can gain from an election. Whatever the results, people rally behind a cause, which is pretty cool.
Do you think being so established in the ward that you're at, do you think it changed like the way you see the community or changed like, because every time I see something like voter turnout, It's like, I have a very hard time believing what people, because everybody was like, ran a rave, and this is what I'm going to do. But how quickly, if it's not like a perfect out, like if it's not a perfect way for them to get into that voting booth, it's like, and especially like a community that you have a boxcar coffee and you're living in, like, did it almost like sully the way you feel about certain things, or did that kind of remain intact?
Like, the coffee shop helped me a lot because people knew it at the doors, right? And they said, oh, you're a coffee shop guy. What bad could you possibly cause?
Right.
You know, I just have a coffee shop. You know, so it did help. And I think that's why I got the votes I got, because I'm a small business owner and it gave me some credibility. But don't kid yourself, it also was used against me.
He's just the coffee shop guy.
No, more like he's using a business to fundraise, third-party advertising.
Like the conspiracy theory.
There was a lot of complaints to elections about
that,
you know, using my business. And so there's pros and cons. And then there's just the optics of a business. And maybe I didn't think a lot about what's the impact potentially to staff or the perception of what, you know, branding something in your coffee shop. Mostly I'd say 80% of the time it was fine.
Yeah.
But you definitely, yeah, you just see that. And then you go through the ward. And I think you learn to articulate pretty quick at the doors and almost like more aggressively about like, do you vote? If you don't, see you later. Because some people want to just spend time and they don't vote. A lot of people are on the fence. Some people can't vote. They don't permanent residents. So, and going to doors is a lot of effort.
And your ward is over, what, 90,000?
Something like that, yeah.
There's literally not enough time to get to everybody.
It was impossible, which is why I started early, which is why a lot of people who ran just did lit drops. They would just drop stuff for information, which is fine. So you could do a flea. A lot of people don't want to knock because you get to learn how people live and you get to see the state of Edmonton. And it's kind of rough, right? That's why I ran, is I'm like, we're in an economic problem, whether we admit it or not. Unfortunately, we're not admitting it based on the council, but that's okay, what people elect for. But it was, you know, you see Yves Strauss falling off, you've seen Caesars struggling. So it gets wearing on you very quick about the state of the city. But also you see great things in the ward. I know every square inch of this ward now, which is pretty cool. There are some amazing spots. And then there's spots I'd probably never go back to.
Right. Like we were talking before we started, like it almost, if you don't come into it with kind of the right purpose or the right sense or like kind of knowing what you're trying to do and then like quickly getting out or getting in the positions where you can make change, it's like it can slowly like take away at someone's mental health. Like people go like bananas. It's to see how much like politics actually like it gets trivialized.
Yeah, no one at the door's telling you things are good.
No.
So you have to basically digest hours and hours of negativity. But you're optimistic because you're like, I can change it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people see a glimmer of hope, which is good.
Right.
So you kind of offset it. But for volunteers, it's really tough because they're doing it for you. And then you expect them to go there all day. It was really hard. And just balancing that, you wanted to make sure that their mental health was important too.
What was some like a learning experience you had as being like a leader in a campaign like this and leading someone, especially when there's no like financial incentives? Was that a thing that you learned throughout this campaign?
Yeah, I had to learn that you can delegate. People do want to help you, like putting a sign out or calling people but I felt like I had to do a lot because you know, like, oh, is that the right message or whatever? But then after a while, you're just like, hey, I trust you and go. But hey, I had volunteers who did backstab me and go to other campaigns. And that's part of politics. But you kind of learn quick to don't judge a book by its cover. A lot of people have motives, even people who want to give you money, of course, even if it's $50, what's the motive, right? So I never, through my entire campaign asked for a donation once.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I don't want to be in that position of owing someone something. Money came to me, which was very nice and helpful. But it always in the back of my mind, I was like, what are you trying to get?
What's the motivation?
And same with volunteers, because some people wanted jobs. Some people wanted spotlight, whatever that meant to them. So you're just trying to navigate all this stuff. Well, all you're trying to do is just run a campaign and win an election. But there's all this behind the scenes stuff you didn't really anticipate.
Did it make you paranoid?
Yeah. To be honest, like, even when I felt pretty good a couple weeks out, right? I was like, got a good social media. I'm not marking the votes. But I was like, who the hell am I going to have at City Hall?
Yeah.
I was actually quite concerned because I was like, who can you trust?
Yeah.
Like, it's just City Hall, but just the online stuff and the behind the campaign stuff and the sabotage that goes on through different campaigns and what people say. One thing I will say, and this is a lesson learned for probably anyone running in the future, everyone has a doorbell cam. Don't forget that. Because the number of doorbell cams I was sent, both for myself, like, hey, your volunteer walked across my grass, but of the competitors saying stuff at the doors that wasn't true about you. And you try to not be, you know, email them and say, how dare you,
you know,
lie.
Or F-bomb or something.
Oh, it's just
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Crazy. F-bomb.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, look, here we go.
Right? And you gotta learn to just... You know, I had a thin skin in the beginning, got super thick towards the end, where I was at the point at the end where I was actually excited to see something said about me. I was like, oh, cool. It's engagement at this point.
Right.
But yeah, you didn't want to get put in a position where something could be used.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, did I get a bit conspiracy level? Sort of, because it's actually true. It's really not a conspiracy. It just... There's a lot of things that happen that people don't realize.
And I think, too, another thing to add on to that is, like, it's about managing it. It's about managing it properly. And, like, again, like, when you talk about having volunteers, it's, like, was, like, keeping your composure, like, another one of those things of, like, I want to outwardly, like, look like I can be this trustworthy. Like, because if I see something and all of a sudden I'm, like, you know, going crazy.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like in making sure to, like, maintain that confidence and not having, like, these super highs or super lows of, like, being extremely manic or then, you know, going into this lull, right? Of, like,
yeah, yeah.
Because I think that happens a lot too, where, like, people can't, like, they can't, like, self, like, internalize it. And everything's, like, an outward thing.
You know, I had a lot of people in the city helping me, but they couldn't literally help me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they were kind of like my sounding boards for a lot, right? Like, I had one guy, he works at the city, pretty high up. I would put something out and he'd be like, take it down.
Right.
Like, you know, you got to think about this. And this is great because I think of an idea, I go with it, I post it. You know, because I think social matters, you know, you don't know the extent of it. But so then I'd be told all the time, people would always give you their advice of what to do, which after a while you're like, please either just do it or help. But it's just, oh, have you gone here? You know, I get texts all the time from random people on Instagram, you know, oh, you got to go to Rapperswil. Oh, you got to go to Inglewood. Inglewood's just, you know. And it's like, guys, like, I'm one guy, like, you know,
yeah,
so
I'm
after,
trying.
You know, then you, but you have people who motivate you, right? I had one guy, he ran last time, shout out to Tyler, you know, he was top notch. He was out there pretty much every day with me in some capacity, even by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'd get a call from another person and she's like, why aren't you out? I was like, I'm just not in the mood. You know, you're like, hey, man. But she's like, no, we got to go. Aaron can't get it or something
right.
like that. And so you always had these pep talks and support. And in the end, it pushes you to, because you're like, hey, I don't want to regret. Uh-huh. And so you have to surround yourself with people who, believe in the cause. Uh-huh. If they're half believing, you're probably going to fail yeah. pretty fast.
What is your opinion on how the political party experiment turned out? I'm interested to know, do you think the people that did get in, do they have like survivor's guilt now that it was such a shitty like outcome for political parties that like the one or two people, I think it's like one.
So here's what I'd say. The parties did get in because working families got in.
Right.
And, you know, interestingly, like all the incumbents were endorsed. Like I think the counselor in this ward, you know, she was backed by 30K in spends.
Mm-hmm.
As an independent, you can't compete with that. And that party, you know, people can say, oh, they can do whatever they want. That's
yeah,
just,
it's not my choice.
But they're flooding you with volunteers and you're coordinating with those volunteers and the emails are coming and you see the money being spent and you're just pretending it doesn't exist. So actually the party won,
right.
Which is ironic because I was actually the first person to post about third party. And mostly because I was getting complaints that I was a third party. So I was like, hey, I got to get ahead of this. So that one of the unions actually had my face up on a presentation, I found out. And they were going to blast me on a series of things like third party advertising. So luckily I had a mole because, you know, you got to have moles everywhere. And so I got ahead of that. And, you know, it had a huge impact on the election. Because if you suddenly get 20 volunteers and $40,000 in cash to spend on ads, that's going to help you.
That's a huge help.
And all the incumbents did.
Yeah.
And so I think to say, and then the rest are parties.
Right.
Except John Morgan.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. Great guy. But he's a union guy too. He had support. So I think overall, I think the narrative should shift to say we did elect parties.
It was just under the table.
I was under the table. And, you know, all those incumbents would say, we're against the UPC, UCP, Bill 50. We'd condemn it, and then we take it.
It speaks a lot to people's credibility.
Yeah.
And it's very disheartening in a way of the fact that you're saying one thing outwardly, and then you're getting your pockets patted in another way. And then it's like...
It's literally U.S.-style politics.
It's like, why don't you just come out and say... Like,
just own it.
Yeah. Hey, you don't like it? All right, cool.
It's like, I'm independent.
Right. It's like, I rather not win, but to do the right thing than to win and feel disgusting.
And, you know, when you're fighting for your life, like for my case, you know, I think I said this at the forum I was at, which, by the way, I think I crushed. Mm. But, you know, I said, I have nothing to lose because at the end of the day, I have a great life. I got a business, you know, I'm a landlord. I'm just doing my thing.
Right.
So I just wanted to make Edmonton better. But a lot of incumbents, literally, they're fighting for their lives. So
yeah,
I could do whatever they can.
They like, yeah, it's interesting you say that because like that is an interesting concept of some people like they go all in.
Yeah. When your back's on the wall.
You're going to do
a lot. And even it was interesting when I would get money, I almost felt like a level of this weird desperation for mm-hmm. the money, even though I didn't need the money. Like I didn't need any money. I was fine and not spend a lot of money. But when I got it, I was like, oh yeah, give it. It was like this weird. So I could only imagine, and in fairness to them, getting this union party to give you money must have felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Especially when it's huge sums of money. It's not
right.
just $100. It's tens of thousands of dollars. So you feel believed in too. Right. And so I don't blame them for that because even if someone gave me $500, it felt like, wow, holy cow. So there was, you know, on the one hand, I get it. I just wish there was more honesty about it all because I think, you know, even the mayor elect was part of that party.
Yeah.
And he got money too, mm-hmm. Behind the scenes.
Right. Because he said he remained independent.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, I don't know. I don't think that this probably happens often, but if there's a balance left over, what are rules regulate that someone has to do with that money? Like if you're donated 40 grand, but what if you don't spend? Or is it kind of like use it or lose it?
Basically everyone spends it.
Yeah. That's what
I legitimately matched my spend to my, I was basically spend as you go. I get more money. A lot of my money went to ad spends. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot because, you know, it's interesting. Like when you think about ad spends, like you could spend $100, but if your content's bad, it's still not going to get engagement.
Right.
Some of my stuff hit like 200K, which is pretty good. But I started to spend money because I was looking around and I saw it as an opportunity because a lot of the incumbents were spending zero. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, either I'm dumb or it's good.
It's genius.
Across the city, I'm known, like 100%. I go all over and people are like, Jesse, I can't believe you didn't win. You were the one candidate I thought would win.
Right.
And maybe that's just from my video exposure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them didn't. So at the end of the day, I kind of spent to what I received.
Right.
You know, you buy volunteers food. Are all those things included? Yes.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, it's hard to catch up and categorize it all.
Yeah, that's... And again, going back to like, you know, people that are going all in, right? It's one of those things where the desperation sinks in and then... You saw even some people that the whole message of their campaign leading up to the election were what can I do for you turned into what this guy can't do for you.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I think this guy's starting to get a little squirrely because like everything was motivational. Yeah. This informative.
Yeah.
And then like the final month, it was like, you can't trust this person. You can't
trust. And you saw that a lot in the mayor, right? Yeah. The mayors, they're all going for the jugular mostly. Yeah. I thought a lot about attacks because I was like, do you do it to expose? But then there's like your own integrity. So I'd often be ready, right? Because for example, I had those doorbell cams and I would have the incumbent literally lying.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, hey, this would be fun. But then I would always ask, you know, my peers, you know, those group that didn't help, but help behind the scenes. And they'd be like, no, you can't do it. You got to be better than that. But I know for the mayors, they were fighting for their lives too, because I mean, we essentially had one left guy and all these rights and the rights split. We all knew it was coming. And, you know, they were all fighting to get the most votes. But at the end of the day, didn't work, did it?
And there was a lot of people that didn't have like a shot in hell.
Yes.
Where you're like, man, you're going up against Goliath, like some, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because it's like you're literally, some of these people are fighting against the machine and like, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But like we talked about in John Morgan's case, there was a lot going against the incumbent that not to say that he didn't deserve to get elected, but I think there was a heavy incentive to get that person out than there was to get that person in. And I think that kind of stacked the chips in his favor. And it was simply like right place, right time. But I think if it was any other incumbent, it probably wouldn't have went the way.
Based on the voting.
On the voting and what you saw, right?
Yeah.
Talk me through the week of elections. So like you finished the campaign. Like I said, you were checking all the boxes in terms of like in my humble opinion and what I know, you look at it, you say he's visible on social media. He's making himself available to the public. He's doing interviews. He's, you know, he's door knocking. All signs point to like he's doing everything. Now you get to like week of elections. Like take me through that week. You talk about like almost blacking out. What does that mean?
The week ahead, you start to get out the vote, but fundamentally you're going hard. There's except the last day, the day of the election, dude. I got a massage. I got my teeth whitened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you just had a day because you're kind of trying to dewind and be ready for what's coming, even though it never came because the elections process sucked.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we could talk about that after.
Yeah.
There was stuff that happened early on, actually right after this podcast, that I started to see cause issues going into the last 2 weeks. Also, there was the teacher strike. So I started to feel a lot of anti-UCP sentiment, which is... right or wrong, it is what it is. right? So I kind of valued my campaign a lot by being the nonpartisan guy. And so I really made a concerted effort to meet with a lot of people. Unfortunately, I met with one guy, a member of parliament, who's pretty conservative. That isn't loved, okay? I have a picture with the guy. That picture was the gift that kept on giving for basically the whole campaign. I'd see it every single day. Someone would call me about it. And it killed votes for me. It started to slowly trickle. But it amplified to the point where the picture was being shown at community league meetings. The picture was being shown at the Forever petitions, which is supposed to be nonpartisan. That's besides the point. So that picture lost me some stuff for sure. And it was more people, you know, you can know someone really well. You can watch me for months. But one picture would suddenly determine your whole fate. Even though it's like, hey, I love what you're standing for. Tell me why there's this photo. And, you know, it's like the classic, you have a family picture with your boyfriend and then you break up and then he's cut out of the family photo. Mm-hmm. And it was never contextual. And so that started to really hurt me. And then that final 2 weeks, I would say we had the most clear vote split in the ward. Now, what I mean by that is there's another guy who ran, great guy. We got along. We talked all the time. He was conservative, okay? I'm a little conservative, right? And about right before nomination day, there was a lot of chatter online to say someone has to drop out. Because if you don't, Aaron's going to win. And, you know, egos are high, man. I knew I would do better than him, but that's just my personal opinion.
Right.
I mean, I just knew the numbers. He'd been at like 5,000 doors. I'd been at 25. Like, my socials were better. But he didn't want to give up. And at the end, he came to the shop the other day and after the election and apologized and said, I'm sorry I never dropped out. You know, and that took a lot. And, you know, but that's okay. And if you look at the numbers of the split, I would have crushed Aaron.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something you're impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention that everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying they all go to me, but a lot of them would have.
Right.
And, you know, because a lot of people were tossed up. So there was a split happening. We could feel it. This ominous, even the morning of the election, I open my phone at like 6 a.m. and I click and there's a picture from someone saying, if this is real, I'm taking this sign off my lawn. Like, it was that type of stuff, right? And then the election day itself, there was a lot there. There was some Forever petitions set up at some key sites with the incumbent supporters. And they were showing that picture to every single car that pulled up and saying, a vote for this guy is a vote for Danielle Smith. Yeah. So that started to kill me in some places too. And then the teacher strike, you could just feel it at the doors because, hey, my mom's a principal. My uncle's a superintendent. My cousins are all teachers. Like, I'm a pro-labor guy. I just believe in working hard, mm-hmm. right? But at the door, it's like, if I said the word fiscal, save, any of that.
They were like, see ya.
NDP.
Yeah.
And Aaron. Yeah. And I saw all the lawn signs, Aaron's next to public education. And it is what it is. So I'd say that's what happened to Edmonton in general, because there's just this anti-sentiment that I think really allowed the incumbents to win hard. Mm-hmm. They swept. Like, let's be real here. Yeah. Except our ward.
Yeah, you guys were close.
We were close. And that's just because I worked hard. And I think people believed in accountability. Mm-hmm. So that week was rough. But, you know, I was still optimistic. There, I had something like 1,300 signs out. Like, I did pretty good. So you're driving around, you're feeling good. Some neighborhoods south of Yellowhead, there were signs that weren't mine. And it gets a little, you're like, oh God, I got to get the hell out of here, man.
Right.
It's just like, you know what's happening.
Right.
Yeah, and then the day I just waited like everybody else and then had the worst night of my life sleeping. And yeah. Then waking up to find out nothing's changed. So you just had to wait it out. But the time allowed me to digest what was happening, because the minute I saw the first poll, I knew. I was like, because the first poll, you have these like scrutineers, people who are there watching, and they kind of tell you the stats. And so this one poll that came in, it was an area which I thought I would win slam dunk, and I didn't. And it was because of that forever petition.
Right.
I'm pretty confident, especially when the votes come to hundreds. Because each community is actually only hundreds.
Right.
So if even 50 votes get changed, that's a huge impact.
Yeah.
The votes are so low.
Right.
So that's when I had this time to kind of digest, and I just walked around and chilled and, you know, tried not to pay attention, because you can only refresh the screen so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just waiting for this election result.
Right.
But because it was so long, it allowed me to kind of, by the time I knew, I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. That was last week.
Right.
I just kind of was over it.
I was very shocked to see that Calgary, they, by 8 p.m. that night, they knew that who everything was. And for us, it took like up until Wednesday. Where do we see that like the problems were, that, because you have all these crazy stories where ballot boxes were forgotten, and then all of a sudden they lost by 50 votes and now they're winning by 600.
Yeah.
Where did that stand with you? Was there ever a point that you said like, okay, we should call for a recount?
Like, our difference was too much, but I think from like an election point of view, it was cooked from the beginning. And there's a lot of people saying that like Edmonton did this to send a message to the government. Now, I think about that, I was like, okay, that's conspiracy. But then I also think about, we literally have an NDP council, which is fine. That's right. What people believe in. But you look at all this and you're like, it doesn't add up.
So like voter suppression.
It was voter suppression. I'm like, even in this ward, we had a power outage, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Telling people they can't vote other places, then posting something on a board at 7:30 before the poll closes. And then you hear that people in the lineup carried the boxes to the other school. Elections will say it didn't happen, but then elections allowing people to post marked ballots on social media, which by the way is a federal offense.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, and the signs are everywhere. So all these things are happening, even at the polling station, not in our ward, on advanced polls. One of the candidates had like a flood of 20 volunteers going up campaigning right in the spots.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about hiring. There was a lack of labor. How did we have a labor shortage and we have the entire teacher fleet off?
Yeah.
And those teachers were applying.
And they said there was like instances where people were like delivering votes at like 3 o'clock in the morning with their personal vehicles. And you're just, not everything makes sense. And
you know, I was at a thing last night and one of the, there's a minister there, and he was like, paper ballots is the gold standard in Western democracy. Even the federal government does it and they get it done in the same night. And he goes, somehow Edmonton couldn't get it done with a year and a half notice. And, you know, conspiracies are not.
And you look at Calgary, boom, done. So you can't say, oh, was all these people that were migrating into, it's like, that was nothing to do with it.
There was bad training. I knew people who trained. Some polls had 25, 30% of people couldn't speak English, apparently helping. We had registration papers leaving the stations. Like, the level of control or lack thereof, like someone, hey, I'm the accountability guy, I like to say, someone should be held accountable. Will they be? Probably not.
Yeah.
That's just how the city rolls. But I do think that I've heard numbers of 5 to 7% didn't vote because of everything. Even when you just look at an advance poll, it's like, why do we hold an advance poll with a week gap? It's like, just do it leading up. Everyone's in the mode.
Right. Like if you start on the 7th, go right to the 17th or something.
Stop. It's weird. People are like, oh, there's an election. It's over. Like the voter cards didn't get out. Calgary got theirs out. Yeah. I mean, you look at everything and it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
It's, you know, would I have won as a result? Who knows?
Right.
Do I think overall? But
I'm sure that caused you to lose a few hours of sleep, though.
Well, when
being
you hear,
like,
when you hear the one candidate won because there was a missing box that went to the wrong person, you're like, wow, actually, Dunn Luce, for example, has 1,000 votes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think Aaron did very well there. Theoretically, I could have won. But, you know, it's like, I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy calling. And there's already enough people calling for it that I think the province will probably watch it pretty closely.
Yeah.
But hey, hopefully Edmonton learned something.
What do you think were some key factors on like voting day? Because a lot of swirling around of, again, like we can talk about like voter suppression, all that. But I think there was also like key contributing factors that I think that when we talk about how long it took to vote, events that were happening in that area, do you think that affected it as a city as a whole, as big as people say it is? And like when we dial it down to your ward specifically, do we think that those kind of events actually, like, because some people just don't care. Like some people even to just care about who they want to vote, let alone getting them to an area.
Yeah.
Especially if like you have some people where their shifts, like they get 2 days off. They're like, I'm not going to spend my day off waiting in a lineup for 2 hours. So then you're really dwindling it down to a diehard voter base that has probably voted the incumbent.
I do think that, like, even if you look at the last election, we had more polling stations. You know, people in Lauderdale, for example, which is in the ward, they're like, we have never, ever once gone to Roslyn to vote. And suddenly, so guess what? All the seniors were going to Lauderdale to vote to find out that it's not a polling station because they didn't get their voter card and they can't go online.
Mm-hmm.
It impacted the election. And, you know, to reduce polling stations is already insane to me. It's like, you need to make it the most accessible thing. You need to have it in the mall.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like we had at the university, you're telling me we can't have it at a school nearby. Every community should have had one, but you had consolidations and that already impacts stuff. And I was getting calls like where to go, we switch schools. You know, it's like, I do think that impacted and, you know, with apathy so high. And I think when you look at all the issues I heard, it was shocking to see that we elected the same. I mean, there's those factors, I think. But it's also like, why didn't people come out then? I mean, they came out, but not enough. And is it apathy? You know, there is a lot at the doors. Like people are like, nothing's going to change. Heard it before. Spent the last 4 years banging my head on a wall. You know, I'm moving out of Edmonton.
Yeah.
You know, so you just hear it all. So I get why people also don't care, because it's like, I have somebody who's there representing literally 15% of my ward. And, you know, how do you build that up to build trust in people and a process when it is about ideology and it does come down to what those guys believe?
Yeah.
We can say we engage people. Like, there's no way that you go to a door and you say, my tax is so high, I see a senior citizen struggling, and then the next day, fund tax increases.
Yeah.
That tells you that it's not about the people.
Uh-huh.
So, and I know there's a balance there, and you got to do things for the betterment of a city. But that's why I think it's a little bit of, I found this election, it's like almost Mickey Mouse level. Like it's almost like a club. You know,
right.
People getting in.
Who you know.
Yeah.
All this like based on vibes.
Yeah.
Literally. It's a vibe check. That's what I said. It was basically like, yo, who do we like? All right. Who do we don't like? And then you ask someone for like tangible. It's like, sure, believe what you want.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not telling you not to believe. But then you're, I don't know. I just don't like them. And you're like, is that good enough? Like, is that okay?
Yeah.
In the era of social media and all of this, I think a lot of people their sentiments were almost megaphoned. And then those person that believes this, they didn't even go vote.
Yeah.
So then you're like, you caused hundreds of people to go vote in a way because of something that you said on somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you didn't even really care about the result. Like, you were just doing it to be like the puppet master.
Yeah. Yeah.
And does that speak to people are like, are more in like susceptible to manipulation?
Yeah. Like early on, I talked about integrity because I was like, you know, you want to be honest the whole time, but there is a lot of misinformation out there, and not even just about myself, but about others. And I'm pretty astute online. Like, I'm watching who's with who. I had one guy, I'll give you an example, who was gunning for me hard.
Right.
He actually worked in the city hall for the incumbent, and he was posting on social media that I would attacked him. I was stalking him, all this stuff. Right. And I'm like, well, I've never met you. I have no idea where you live, but he was saying this on forums, right?
Yeah. Gave you bad vibes.
Or I'm creepy, whatever. But I saw this guy helping the mayor.
Yeah.
And I reached out to the mayor and I said, you have a guy on your campaign who is spreading misinformation. And, you know, it's about integrity. It's like, do you want someone on your team that's talking about somebody, about saying things that isn't true? Because that's a reflection of you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're running all these volunteers. It's tough, but like, you got to think about that stuff. And then what people said, right? Like, there's no checking of anything anymore. There's no fact checking.
No.
It's like, and I would comment on stuff for people all the time. There was a online account that they posted false information about people all the time to draw conclusions. And I would correct them on the other people. Oh, so-and-so's UCP. I said, actually, they're NDP. They ran for a nomination in 2017.
Yeah.
Maybe ask them.
Yeah.
And then I would be called, oh, he's a troll. I'm like, I'm a troll trying to fix, like, this is democracy and we have to make sure people are honest and truthful. That's all we have, right? So, you know, all those things add up to the point where actually I was blocked by almost every incumbent in the city. And I think, even though I never talked to them, but they felt that I was challenging them to an extent.
Almost like a sleuth. Like, you were just like, they were worried that it was going to be like a cat and mouse game or something, where it was like, all it takes is for me to screw up once.
Yeah. And it's like, it was almost like I was the integrity watchdog.
Mm-hmm.
And, their track records. And I never ever called anyone out, only the incumbent on my own. But generally, because I was like, I'm going to actually work with these people potentially, right? I got to have good relationships. And council is just this ominous being, right? Council.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it is council. But I noticed really fast that people suddenly, even one guy, he blocked me early on. I never talked to him before.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something you're impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention that everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
But then they would talk about me.
Yeah.
And I was never given the opportunity to say something, even though I defended them.
Yeah.
So early on, integrity was so important. And online, it's really hard to catch that. And I didn't block anyone.
Right.
I was, unless they were what I would call a 00 burner account.
Right.
And they were trying to do something malicious. But generally speaking, I let anybody say whatever they wanted, good or bad. Because, one guy was obsessed. He's like, are you gay? He was asking me this on every single forum, on every single comment. And I've been, you know, I never deleted them. People would attack them hard on the on chat, like, oh, don't be a bigot or whatever. And then 2 weeks out, the guy comments, I'm voting for you. After 9 months of basically saying gays are wrong and mentally unstable. But
it's
just
like all this craziness.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not, you know, it is what it is. Not everyone thinks the same. He's just saying what he says, you know. And what really got me actually was a lot of people who ran on inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
I find that such an interesting concept because, you know, in my campaign, I never talked about my personal life because it's my personal life. And I was like, if I was to win, I was going to be very strong on having Sundays off and keeping my family out of the limelight, right? And then we had these posts where they're talking about my sexuality.
And you're just like,
as a negative, like, oh, a queer business owner.
Yeah.
But I'd never said the word queer.
Right.
But then they were running on banners of being, but they're basically outing me.
Right. And they're like this, yeah.
So I was like, you're running on these like DEI
and
then you're outing me in a post.
False pretense.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to get me on it. Even the incumbent, and I'll be honest, another mayoral candidate told me she was at a function and she's like, I can't believe you're supporting a gay candidate, and said that at a table of 20 conservative Muslims.
Right.
And you're like, oh shit. Like, people really go deep to try to, they say, hey, I'm a minority. I'm running, you know, whatever. I care about inclusive rights. And then on the same hind, we'll use it against you.
Yeah.
So that's the type of stuff that got really dirty. Right. And you're like, you know, you try to correct this stuff, but after a while you're just like, nah, what can you do?
Is that something that, like, throughout the campaign you learned, or did you kind of come in with, because you talk about, like, getting thick skin. Now, what was your emotional attachment to, like, some of these comments and stuff? Were you more reactive at the start and then kind of had to learn, like, okay, I'm going to have a better outlet for this?
Yeah, in the beginning, I was like, it was an emotional roller coaster because you're like, holy cow, this person hates me and they're lying, right? And you're like, you want to reply. There was one early on, I went to the schools, right?
Right.
It was funny. I'd reach out to the schools. I'd say, hey, can I donate coffee? And I'm running a campaign. Every school was okay with me going there, setting up, whatever, right? Some schools wanted me there so bad, they put up my campaign posters in the hallways. Like, so technically, apparently you can't campaign in schools.
Right.
Okay. So all I'd have is a coffee with my, campaign on it. I wasn't running around, like, whatever, just kind of standing there serving coffee, say, hey, I'm running, check me out type of thing. Taking pictures. I was on the social medias, tagged with principals. And then all of a sudden a post came out saying that, I was cheating, okay, by this kind of the pseudo influencer guy, and you know, saying he talked to the principal and she knew nothing about it, and you know, and to the point where another account created a fake email from the principal and posted it saying that, you know, and now the principal's trying to sue them because that's not what happened.
Right.
I literally have. I have
it's
a photo
almost
with this
on the
woman.
Line of like defamation.
It is. It was insane, right? But this went out there and you're like, how? So that was the first real, like, I'd say, attack of my integrity. And you had a lot of people, oh, I can't believe you did this. Oh, you're a cheater. You start to hear that stuff. And but after a while, there was more and more. And this person, I would say, kind of became obsessed with me, mm-hmm. like talking about me all the time. Almost like, yeah, it was just a lot. But after a while, I was looking forward to it. Because after a while, I realized, like, you know what? Like, he's got to do what he's got to do. He's just trying to do what I'm doing, but in a different way,
mm-hmm.
right? He's engaging a base, and that's okay. And so people, and he blocked me early on, too, even right. though I never talked to him.
Right.
And so he blocked me. I couldn't see the content.
Right.
But yeah, would post about me.
So weird.
People would send me the content. Through, you know, they would video it and send it or something like that, right? And I was, the last one posted, I was grinning ear to ear. And it's almost like I went through a psychological revelation.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was like, oh my God, I'm doomed to, wow, this guy likes me so much. He cares so much about this. And that's what democracy is, caring, that he's posting about me every week. And so I was like, if that guy needs to do it, that's okay. Right. So I just kind of was like, sweet, engagement, it helps me. I thought to myself, if I was going to win, I would thank him.
Yeah.
In the end, kind of thank people who supported me, good or bad.
Right.
Because it helped me. Maybe it didn't help me in a way, but that's okay too. You know?
Right. It is hard too, because it comes in like waves, and then you probably have the feeling too, like, am I ever going to get ahead of this? Like, and at some point you have to kind of like, you have to accept that, like, with this idea of stepping into like this public light and putting myself on social media, I also have to invite a level of scrutiny and criticism, good or bad, right? Yeah. And it's a hard reality. I think it's a very hard truth. And I think that when you look at a guy like, say, John Morgan, well, this is probably going to be a hard reality where it's like, you're just chilling in Edmonton Transit for 18 years.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, there's cameras, 7 cameras, 20 mics pointed at you wanting answers.
And he's going to get haters.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think he's had that.
No.
And, you know, he's just a nice guy. So I think that's going to impact him because, you know, I think I had so much rhetoric online because I was a competition, I think, in a lot of people's minds. I think for John, he had a lot going for him. Like you said, like, people wanted Rice out, whether you liked Rice or not.
Yeah.
She, you know, people want her out.
People love to hate you.
Yeah, exactly.
People love to hate
you. Like, I even had city people internally mobilizing to defame me. One guy actually posted on Reddit that I was UCP aligned, whatever. And, you know, and then enraged the base to take down my business, right? And I got 34 one-star reviews from this guy.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like, you know, and then he's protected by a machine which is donating to the very people that are being elected.
Right.
And you're like, how do you beat that, right? He's not going to be held accountable. So John might be ready. You know, he might get some of that because if he doesn't do what people want, at least the minority in this case, you know, he might not be used to that.
Yeah.
So you got to build that over time and this resiliency to kind of be like, hey, just let it go.
Did you ever feel like in this campaign, it was going to start to pour into like other parts of your life where it's like, oh, they might like take me out at the knees. And like, I might lose, but like, they're going to come for my business. They're going to come for this. They're going to come for that. And like, they're not only looking to like defame me, like they're honestly looking to like ruin my life.
Yeah, I was naive on that. And somewhat early on, it was interesting because I took a picture. This was before a campaign with Randy Bossino, right? Randy's a nice guy. I think he did a lot of great things for Edmonton, but he's not well-liked. There's a scandal, blah, blah, blah. But they're like, don't post that. You can't post that on your coffee shop. Like, you're going to whatever. And then you hear of these stories how an NDP liberal will go to Calgary, post on a business, and the business is boycotted.
Right.
And you're like, that can't be real. People don't put businesses out of business because of someone with a photo.
Yeah.
Well, I was wrong.
Right.
The NDP group, I call them, will destroy your business in Edmonton for whatever they believe in. And I learned that through this, right? Because they tried. But, you know, I think the right thing does always prevail. You know, I was able to remove a lot of the reviews because Google, you know, posting pictures of things that aren't real, that doesn't help you on Google. They'll actually take it down.
Yeah.
You know, memories.
There is accountability somewhere.
Yeah, there is some level. And memories fade fast.
Yeah.
Right? People forget, whatever. You know, but it stings you a bit because you're like, wow, these are people's lives.
Yeah.
And people are willing, because you took a picture of someone or someone lied about something online, that you're willing to hurt people's lives.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
And that's like, I thought to myself, that's a reflection of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're probably not happy. They're probably lashing out. And, you know, we had, you know, from a business point of view, we're better than ever.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that, I was like, you know what? Those people aligning to some guy that's lying, they have no impact on your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Edmonton at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's the same rhetoric of like, if you build it, they'll come. Like, if you have a good business, if you're doing the right thing and everything's like above the board and in a like an accountable, wholesome way, it's like eventually, like, you just you stack your chips. And yeah, you're going to face this type of scrutiny, of course, but it's a thing of if you're doing the right thing, like the people will come. Going into, you know, now we look at the end of this election cycle, we're another now starting the clock on 4 years. So I saw early on you were still active with posting and like creating digestible content. And now it's outside of the allure of I'm posting this to get elected for council.
Yeah.
So with an account of 13.7 thousand, which is probably the most we've seen like a candidate, you know, amassed through this, because you did an awesome job with using social media to your advantage. But talk about like this new life on this account and kind of what your mission is for now.
Yeah, like over the last few months, I had so many, even city employees, like people reaching out to me. And I would say this is a cone of trust. I would never break it. Just saying, help us, like help me or expose this. And some stuff is nuts, right? But a lot of stuff is real. And so, you know, after I found out the results, I was being flooded with like people just saying, are you done? There was a moment I was like, I'm just going to close it. It's an end of a chapter. But then I was like, you know what? Like, people like the account. There actually is no accountability side of the formula in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
There's only bias. And I'm biased too, but there's only one-sided bias. And so I thought to myself, there's got to be someone to tip the scales. And, you know, I was at an event last night and I'm talking to a guy and, you know, even as of last night at 6 o'clock, a bunch of counselors are still talking about me. And I said, that says a lot because you made an impact on their lives and they see me as a guy who at least they can't, they'll have to tiptoe because I'm going to continue to expose it. And I think it's important, like, you know, I can find out information easily. I just know where to look.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've always done is public.
Right.
Right. I just know where to look because I was like an insider for a while.
Right.
And, I did one on Continental Treat recently. He reached out to me. He said, please help me. Right. It's like, okay.
But that must be a huge pat on the back for you to know that like people are reaching out and they feel like you're going to be able to like communicate their woes or their like shortcoming and like do it in a good way.
Yeah. And Continental got a place out of my post. And you know how good that felt? All he wanted was a 1 week extension from the city.
Yeah.
The city said no, and he got something. And I was like, hey, this actually has a positive outcome. So, and you know, the future, I might run for the province, honestly. Mm-hmm. I've already been asked. I'm really keen and interested. You know, maybe it's, I don't know for what, in what form, what that means, but you know, I have at least what the election gave me is I'd say some credibility,
mm-hmm.
you know, if
got
in my mind,
out there.
Got my face, people know where I am. Like I was, you know, I go places and people are like, oh, you know, I can't believe you lost. But thank you for doing what you're doing. And, you know, maybe it'll get tiring after a while, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I go back to the beginning where, you know, I had nothing to lose. I have a great life. I'm married. I have a great house. I have a great business. So this is just extra. I was already doing it. Now I don't have to door knock all day.
Right.
So I, for at least now in the short term, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And it's amazing that you've kind of, like, some people, they have a habit of like rolling in their own shit. You know what I mean? Like where something happens and then they just play this like victim card again and again. It's woe is me, woe is me. It's the establishment, it's this.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like this can only go on for so long, right? Where eventually you kind of have to like find out, okay, what's my next, right? Because again, this is a clear example of like even doing everything right. Sometimes it just, maybe forces working against you. Maybe it was like something you missed on your, who knows, right? But it's one of those things where it's a clear message where it's like, you know, it's in that person's own best interest to like find a way to kind of reroute that momentum and not come at a dead stop.
Yeah. And I didn't want to, there are candidates who've been blasting on socials about the corruptness or, you know, for, and I'm like, it's over. Like it was last week, man. Yeah. Like, let's just move on. And I haven't posted about any of that because I'm like, it is what it is. Like, you can't dwell in the past, you know, you can't regret. So I'm just moving ahead. So I haven't posted about any of that stuff. Yeah. I just said, thank you. I wished her everyone well, and I wished her she can come to Boxcar anytime.
Just talking about Boxcar, you were already doing, like, Boxcar is a fabulous place. I love it.
Thank you.
We talked about this in the last episode, the whole idea of, you know, how you created it, no sign, everything like that.
Yeah.
Since we last,
it's a club.
Yeah. Since we last talked, what have been like some key have you had any big milestones? I know you were talking early on about like expansion and doing something with ice cream and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got money. Great. That took a long time. So we have money to build a building. And what's interesting, as soon as my sign went up, people started to say I was building an eightplex, which was the infill thing, even though it's a commercial building. Anyways,
you can't do that.
So that was another force that started to, Jesse, the infill guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we do have a plan. We got a DP. We're just waiting to essentially finalize the
DP?
Building permit, development permit.
Okay.
So it can be built.
Okay.
The building permit's more about, you know, the nuances around it. There's some dumb things around the site. It's a small building. How does fire work? Stuff like that. Then we'll have hopefully ice cream and breakfast. I'm still not 100% on the breakfast name for the place. And then some more apartments because I want to do a hub. I think it's just important for the north side, like independence. There's a lot of independent shops, but not like a hub. We'll have a rooftop patio. Only people I like can go up there. Definitely not the haters through the election.
Yeah.
Just, you know, kind of the next evolution to, you know, 2.0 Boxcar. So
right.
It also gives me something to do in the meantime.
Uh-huh. And having that grassed area, it almost like complements everything.
Yeah.
You know,
the deck will go right to it. It'll go to that. We'll have this building in the back and, it'll be amazing place to go because, hey, not every mom and dad, you know, their kids don't want coffee. They might want ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll become like a family oriented spot.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. That's wicked. It's really interesting how, you know, cause there's so much like effort. When I talk to some like you and all of these guys, even when I was talking to, Andrew Knack, it was like, I caught him like between three events.
Yeah.
And he was like, I only got 60 minutes. Like,
yeah.
That's it. And then to have the fallout of like, I could only imagine how much of an adrenaline dump that would be. And it's so like inspiring to still keep that motivation going. Because I think you're probably the 1% of people that are taking this in stride where other people, I wouldn't think that they're too happy.
Yeah, you know, like I'm a psycho when it comes to knowing what's going on, right? FOMO. So on election day, you know, I'm digging into Reddit, which is, it's tough going into Reddit sometimes, okay? But, you know, I'd see comments about like, oh, Jesse, he's going to do this mass redemption post. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's when you lose, people care about you, but it's also everyone's telling you I'm sorry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, thanks, right? So there's a level of avoidance for a little bit. You're like, let's just hope this passes. But even today, I'm walking the dogs and I'm stopped on the road. People are pulling over on the road to say, oh, thank you for doing what you did, blah, blah, blah. You're like, thanks. But also you're like, oh my God, like, can we just move on? Like,
yeah.
I've moved on faster than the people who voted for me.
And you don't even know if they fucking voted.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
That's the hardest part of like,
I know.
You're probably telling me this now because you have some sort of like
remorse.
Like some sort of complex about it.
And you know, one politician told me early on, and this is one thing I didn't learn. I wasn't good at tracking because he told me way in the beginning, he's like, you need to get the name, you need to get the number, you need to follow up. Yeah. Right. But after a while, you're just the minutia of all of the time. You're looking at these apps all day long and you just, it gets away.
Yeah.
And, you know, but in the end, I really had no idea. Mm-hmm. I assumed, but people forget. You go and see a property, the sign's flipped. You're like, crap, I lost them. You flip it back. But how many of those happen, right? So I think if I was to run again for whatever level of government, that would be priority 101. Is like, if I come to your house, Rye, like, are you voting? Yes. What's your number? And I am going to follow up to remind you, I will drive you there.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you had no clue. Right. I had no clue.
Right.
And I was just on a hope. And it turned out okay. I did pretty good. But I almost think if I was more on that, I probably would have even done better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost accountability for people.
Of like, I know this person's going to call.
So and I'm calling you. Exactly. And yeah. Some people are so good with asking for that. Like I'm kind of a little bit coy on the doors. I'm like, do you want to? I don't even ask people if
it's
they want signs.
It's almost like you just like you're giving people like the trust without earning it, but it's almost like you're giving people like the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
When like every year that goes on, like people are more fickle than ever. But it's a hard reality because us as humans. You want to give people the benefit. Why would I think this person is going to do something distrustful if I haven't seen anything?
Giving someone a piece of paper, they're just going to believe in me.
Yeah.
But hey, guess what? That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's almost learning the harsh reality.
Yeah.
But I want to start off by saying thank you for coming and having this conversation. I think that it's a very enlightening thing. And it also speaks to like the realities of something like this.
Yeah.
The stakes as well as the realities. And I appreciate you coming on my platform for the second time and having this conversation. Because like I said, a lot of people are probably still in that, you know, mode of, you know, vengeance or how to get this type of redemption, right?
Yeah.
So I think our audience can appreciate that. And it speaks to your level of character for being able to come and speak to those things and, you know, understanding it and being transparent when a lot of people aren't. Looking forward, even looking over the next year, a lot of people would like to know, is it your plan in 2029 to run in some sort of fashion?
Yeah, I don't think I would run for the city again, if I'm being honest. I look at it and I was at a thing last night and you know, the guy was saying the city is the vessel of something else. And I think council has evolved, you know, learning this over this time into something that they're not even meant to be, right? Like it's not just about the nuts and bolts anymore. It's turned into this, like, even what they're touting now of taking over housing and taking over addiction, it's turning into like almost a level of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picture myself there, even with who's elected, I'm like, man, that would have been a tough 4 years. So I think I just got to go pivot and go a different direction. Mm-hmm. But who knows? It's 4 years from now. But I feel like I'm probably going to do something in the interim politically.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about it. And we'll see. You know, stuff happens fast. You know, but I feel optimistic that, you know, I'm meant to be a politician, but a lot of people, you try once. Hey, a couple famous politicians tried 3 times.
100%.
But, you know, eventually I think we'll get there.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. I think your level of keeping people accountable as well as just being savvy across the board and knowing like what you need to do to get there. I think at some point we will definitely see you in some sort of office and we can't wait to follow up with you. You know, even if that doesn't happen, we still want to follow up and I can't wait to see what our next conversation holds.
Maybe you'll be at the ice cream shop.
Yeah, maybe. That's right. With that has been another episode of Solo Spotlight. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, follow. This was an amazing conversation.
Thanks, Ryan.
And I will see you next week.